So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter name is Chapter 11, The Universal Form. So we will read text 9 and then next text. Sanjaya uvacha eva muktva tato rajan Mahayogeshwaro Hari Darshayamasa Partaya Paramam Rupamaishwaram Sanjaya Uvacha. Sanjaya said, Evam Das Uktva, saying, Tata, thereafter, Rajan, O King, Mahayoga Ishvaraha, the most powerful mystic, Hari, the supreme personality of Godhead Krishna, Darshayam Asa, showed, Partaya, and to Arjuna, Paramam, the Divine, Rupamaishwaram, Universal Form. Translation by His Divine Grace, by Charan Ravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sanjaya said, O King, having spoken thus, the Supreme... As you wish. No. We can repeat also. having thus spoken, the Supreme Lord of all mystic power, the personality of Godhead, displayed his universal form to Arjuna. There's no purport, so we will read also next text, text 10 and 11. Aneka vaktra nayanam, anek Kadbhuta darshanam, aneka divya baranam, divyane kodya tayudam, divya malayam bara daram, divya gandanule panam, sarvascharya mayam devam, anantam vishvato mukam. Translation in purport. Arjuna saw in that universal form unlimited mouths, unlimited eyes, unlimited wonderful visions. The form was decorated with many celestial ornaments and bore many divine upraised weapons. He wore celestial garlands and garments, and many divine scents were smeared over his body. All was wondrous, brilliant, unlimited, all-expanding. Purport. In these two verses, the repeated use of the word many indicates that there was no limit to the number of hands, mouths, legs, and other manifestations Arjuna was seeing. These manifestations were distributed throughout the universe, but by the grace of the Lord, Arjuna could see them while sitting in one place. That was due to the inconceivable potency of Krishna. So, this chapter is about universal form. And we know already that everyone has come to this material world to imitate Krishna, somehow, to be a little Krishna. So, everyone is trying their best to imitate Krishna, to be a little Krishna, at least in their home, in their city, in somewhere. So this place, and sometimes people just say, "Oh, look how cool I am." And sometimes we can hear in text 8, Krishna says, "I will give you divine eyes so you can see my opulence." So sometimes people also say things like this. So cool. But after this, there is the practical stuff. So you can say many things, but then you have to also show it. So in the text today we see Krishna is actually showing the universal form. He's not just bluffing. He's not saying things just yeah, he says now okay, I will show it. He says I will show it, and then he also shows the universal form. And this is like for people who try to imitate God, this is Krishna. This is something given by Arjuna. Yes, okay. You want to be God? Sure, no problem. You can just show the universal form. Okay, do it. And but when you ask them to do this, they are like, they give strange answers, but they cannot do anything. It's like sometimes you have these boxing matches, or now UFC maybe is in these fighting matches. And they 6 months, 3 months before they speak about, oh, I will, there is a fight, and then they will say, okay, I will kill you, yeah, just I will beat you, yes. You have no chance. In 3 months, they speak every week, every month, something like they have a special show, and the boxer is saying. But then sometimes it happens that after 6 months of talking, then they go first round, and there is one boxer is just one punch, and the other is like knocked out. Because yeah, it's easy to talk sometimes. And first round. So then there was one example. Someone asked. There was one guy. His name was Guru Maharaji. Maybe you heard of it. And during Prabhupada's times, and he said, "Okay, he's God." And Prabhupada said, "Okay, go and beat him with shoes." And I don't know if the devotees actually did this, but this was Prabhupada's advice. And Prabhupada continued and said, "Okay, if he's God, then it will be no problem for him to defend." Let's see what kind of God he is. So yeah, if he's actually God, then he has to actually show it. So this is one reason for the universal form, that it sets a standard for who is God. If you want to pretend you're an incarnation, okay, no problem. Show the universal form. Yeah, that's one part. Other thing, because I was reading these verses these days, and I was thinking, okay, not so interesting. Maybe sometimes for devotees, it's this chapter might seem not so interesting. But something you have when you read these verses is like the feeling that it got for me is what it calls awe, respect, like wow, you know. Like, wow, this is something I cannot do. I can try to imitate God, but really not like this. The verse, like the verse tomorrow says that this universal form was as effulgent as thousands of sun. So I can sometimes think, well, I'm effulgent myself, not a bit. But yeah, maybe like half a sun or a sun. But thousands of sun, really. That's really too much. So this is something, then this is like reality check. Marcelo asked Maharaj this week how to get rid of pride. just be realistic. let's see where we are, who we are. What are you proud of? One interesting, little feeling of what could have been what Arjuna experimented was we went to Friday on in Krani, and there they have somewhere they have a place where you can see a lot down, and there's a glass wall, but you can see through the glass wall, and it's like you can see like maybe 100 meters down, and I was looking like, wow. my feet were a bit shaking. And I was like, wow, this is just... And then I was thinking of... Then Krishna says in the end of previous chapter, this is just a spark from my splendor. This is nothing, you know. This is 100 meters. And then you already have this feeling that, wow. Yeah, and this is good. This is good because the devotees in Vrindavan, they don't have this feeling that Krishna is, how big is Krishna? But maybe it's good to have this this feeling that Krishna is so big and we're so tiny, and because. One of the things that is really important in spiritual life is humbleness. Humbleness, yeah. Okay, yeah, sometimes I also think I'm a big devotee. But that is, what am I? And... this is very interesting because in this material world, everyone is trying to be big, big person. Yeah. People are trying to be, I'm president, I'm head of whatever. And, Krishna is trying to be servant. Everybody here is trying to be master. Yes, I will control everything. Everything will move according to my direction. And Krishna is trying to be servant. It's, there are some, many forms. Krishna is showing his opulent side. Like, Lord Nisimhadev, I wouldn't go and say, hi, how are you? Let's play some football. But in some forms, Krishna is showing his humble aspect, his view to how to serve his devotees. Like we have the classical example is exactly Bhagavad Gita, because Krishna, what is his position? If you are a warrior, you have the warrior, and then you have the charioteer. So the warrior is the warrior, and the charioteer is low class. It's not, usually they weren't even kshatriya. It's like. From material perspective, maybe you can think, okay, here you have cooks and someone who doesn't know how to cook. So, yeah, he just chops some vegetables. But the important person is cook. Yeah. This is material perspective. So Krishna, what does he do? He's taking the position, he's taking the position of charioteer. Says, I'm just here helping Arjuna. He's a good fighter. But I'm just doing something here. I don't know how to fight, so I'm just helping him. And it's very interesting. Or Yeah, Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya, he identifies Gopi Bhartur Pada Kamalayora Dasa, 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 Dasa. So his servant of the servants of the servants of the servants of the servants. And also, there's so many cases. Yeah, like also Krishna in Vrindavan. Krishna in Vrindavan, they have the coward boys. They are not treating him with respect. Like, oh, yeah, sometimes they play some games, and sometimes Krishna loses, and the coward boy says, "Yeah, you lost. You have to carry me on your shoulders." Yeah, but I'm God. Well, who cares? You have to. You lost. So this is Krishna's position. He's many times putting himself in the position of serving the devotees, and then we have to we can take whatever example we like. We can take the example of the materialistic people who are trying to be masters of everything, or we can see what Krishna and his devotees are doing. Today is also the day when Srila Prabhupada arrived in Boston, and there he wrote a song, which a prayer, which is I don't know if it's quite it's famous, but it's a bit known by some devotees, and I'll just not this one. Okay, there's and in this prayer, Srila Prabhupada he reveals a bit of his inner state, and I'll just take some parts. And if you like, you can read the prayer. It's very inspiring. And he says, "My dear Lord Krishna, you are so kind upon this useless soul." So Srila Prabhupada doesn't think he's a big devotee. We have some example of so many acharyas. They don't think they are, "I'm such a big devotee. I'm empowered. I'm Shakti of Vaishavatar." And he is. And there was one thing, one more thing. Where is it? Yeah, it says, "How will I make them understand this message of Krishna consciousness? I am very unfortunate, unqualified, and the most fallen." This is what Srila Prabhupada said. Yes. Yeah, of course, after. So this is the state, the big, the devotees are humble. And so this universal form can help us become humble. When we see the opulence of Krishna, we can see, wow, wow. And yeah, speaking of this, wow, we had some discussion a few days ago about the wow technique in in Sankirtan with some devotees. It was, wow technique is mainly. And this is relevant in this context, because you probably heard of, how Vaisheshika Prabhu, he is distributing books. He goes to people and he says, "You're very spiritual, what's your secret?" And he says some things before. And people say something which is completely unrelated, like, "I play tennis." and then what that does he say? He says, "Wow, I knew it. I knew it. You look spiritual." There's something in your eyes. And then you would think, this person really should understand that this is not true. But no, it doesn't happen. Because what actually happens is that people have come to this material world to become Krishna. And finally, after thousands of births, someone realizes how important I am. So that's why this technique works. Even if somehow they should detect that tennis is not something spiritual. But nobody will say no, I'm not. We had our friend Dierun. He was sometimes going to people. It's from some devotees. We're distributing books to all the nice people today. Are you a nice person? So everybody, what will they say? No. No, of course everyone will say, yes. Okay, then this is for you. We might think, okay, but this is just a technique invented. But no, this technique works since forever. We have some Shastric evidence for this. Like, for example, we have Sanatana Goswami, who is applying this technique. He was in jail, and there was a jail keeper, and Sanatana Goswami wanted to get released. So he's applying Sankirtan techniques. I'll just read. When Sanatana Goswami received this note from Rupa Goswami, he became very pleased. He immediately went to the jail superintendent, who was a meat eater, and spoke as follows. So he was a meat eater. He wasn't some. So he said, Sanatana Goswami told to the Muslim jail keeper, "Dear sir, you are a saintly person and are very fortunate. You have full knowledge of the revealed scriptures, such as the Quran and similar books. You're saintly and very learned. If one releases a conditioned soul or imprisoned person according to religious principles, he himself is also released from material bondage by the Supreme Personality of Godhead." You already know this because you are studying it in the scriptures, so. Yeah, and then he offers some coins also, some gold, double. But same technique. So what does the jail keeper say? "No, I'm a jail keeper. I never read Quran in my whole life. I can't even read. And actually, I'm not really saintly. Yeah, no, really, really fallen. Yes. No, what does he say? No, he accepts the statement of Sanatana Goswami. Yes, sure. This is just one example. Second example, because Lord Vamanadev. He's using same technique when he's begging from Bali Maharaj. So he doesn't go to Bali Maharaj and say, I want the whole universe. Or he doesn't even go and say, I want 3 steps of land. No, first he says some things. So let's see what he says. First, what does he do? What do you think he does? bow down. Yeah, okay. And then, what does he say? Something like this. He glorifies Bali Maharaj. He says, "Bali, you're a great king in a great dynasty." So he says, "O King Bali, never in your dynasty has the low-minded king been born who, upon being requested, has refused charity to brahmanas in holy places or a fight to a kshatriya on a battlefield. And your dynasty is even more glorious due to the presence of Prahlad Maharaj, who is like the beautiful moon in the sky." First he says, "Bali Maharaj, you're coming from a very high class family." Then he gives some examples. It was in your dynasty that Hiranyaksha was born. Carrying only his own club, he wandered the globe alone, without assistance, to conquer all direction, and no hero he met could rival him. When delivering the earth from the Garbhodaka sea, Lord Vishnu, in his incarnation as a boar, killed Hiranyaksha, who had appeared before him. The fight was severe, and the Lord killed Hiranyaksha with great difficulty. Hiranyaksha, he lost, but it was good fight. Good fight. He was a very good fighter. So, very glorious. Then he says a bit, he glorifies a bit Hiranyakashipu also, who also, he was defeated, but he was very, very nice. And then he says a bit about your father, Virochana, the son of Maharaj Prahlad, was very affectionate toward Brahmanas. Although he knew very well that it was the demigods who had come to him in the dress of Brahmanas, at their request he delivered them the duration of his life. Your father was also very glorious. And you yourself, you are very glorious. You have observed the principle followed by great personalities. And then he says, okay, now, after glorifying, says, "Now, O King of the Daityas, from your majesty, who come from such a noble family, and who are able to give charity munificently, I ask only three paces of land to the measurements of my step." Or Vamana Dev used this same technique, same thing. This is since forever. Same technique. He's glorifying Bali Maharaj. You're such a noble personality. And then he says, okay, now maybe if you can help with a donation from your heart. Three steps of land. You can give something. and actually, when Srila Prabhupada sometimes was asked how to preach, he gave the example of Prabodhananda Sarasvati, who was telling something similar, how to preach Lord Chaitanya's movement. Probably heard this before. So this is a technique. And he said, Prabhupada Sarasvati says, "You go to them with a straw in your mouth." A straw in your mouth is it manifests humility. Even he is a first class, loafer class, and humbly say, "My dear sir, I know you are a very learned person. You know everything. Very, very educated. I just have one request. Just one request. You please throw it all away. Forget everything. And follow Lord Chaitanya and chant Hare Krishna." Srila Prabhupada was laughing after a bit. But this is somehow the a way how we can use this information. Yeah, of course, we're trying to trick people into Krishna consciousness. This is bona fide. Not Vamanadev was doing it. Srila Prabhupada was doing it. I was searching for the reference, but I didn't find it after. Srila Prabhupada said something to the disciple. He said, "Is the spiritual master, like sleazy? I don't know what the English word, like someone who will trick you or something." And he said, no, Srila Prabhupada. And then he asked again, "Is the spiritual master tricking people?" No, Srila Prabhupada. And then he asked again. And after the third time, he said, "How come you didn't want to become Krishna conscious?" Nobody here wanted to be Krishna conscious. But I tricked you into Krishna consciousness. So yeah, so it's bona fide. People are trying to run from Krishna consciousness and we're trying to somehow say, "Hello, let's please do something." Like today we were in Harinam and there was some person, we were going just in front, and then someone out of the blue came with a child and just put themselves in front, so they couldn't go anywhere anymore. So I was coming and I say, "Hello." But still, they found a way to get out. Still found a different way. So this is the fight when you go preaching. They want to escape Krishna consciousness. And well, "Hello." Yeah, get some bouquet. Yeah, it's a half joke, but only half. It's about their desire normally is how to escape Krishna, and our desire is how to make them take Krishna consciousness. So it depends whose desire is stronger. Yeah. So okay. That was just a few ideas. So mainly this universal form can help us become humble, and being humble is good. It's we're supposed to not be big, but small and servant. And we can use this information. This kind of information can help us understand what's going on around, and we can use this information even, or we can understand. Okay, people want to be glorified. Okay. Why not? If this helps them become more Krishna conscious, why not? In the third verse of Shikrashtaka says, Amani Namadandana. So condition to all be able to stay in Krishna consciousness and always chant Hare Krishna is that we are small. We don't ask for any respect for... But we are ready to offer respect to anyone. I'm not a big devotee. If I do something useful, then this is just because of Srila Prabhupada, my spiritual master, Krishna. But I'm ready to glorify everyone. Yeah, just to see the good things in others. This is, I heard this thing before. It's, to find faults is like, someone said, it's like to find faults in Kali Yuga is like finding water in an ocean. Not very hard. There's a lot of water in the ocean. But to find something good in others, that's something to learn. Okay, I'll stop here. If there's some comments, questions.
Mukunda Mahaprabhu, can you say how do you inspire devotees, people to distribute books?
How do you inspire? I like Prahladananda Maharaj says many times, you have to preach all the time, and sometimes you have to say a few things also. That is very, very deep. So mostly you inspire people by example. Yeah, of course one way that is really inspiring for me is to read about Srila Prabhupada. And to read about maybe early days of our movement, to read about devotees who are really an example, who are like you go and you say wow. this kind that you are hearing about devotees who are so surrender to Krishna, and then you can think, maybe I can do a bit of a little thing, maybe I can do also. So important is but Sankirtan is many times you can start in a different way, but Sankirtan Maharaj said it's you are giving the bliss you already have. So it's about, and if you are naturally blissful, if you're reading the books, if you're chanting, if you, then you are inspired to, okay, let's share with others also. So this is one thing. Yeah, I don't know, some, yeah, and you can, can preach about the importance of Srila Prabhupada. One thing, in the beginning for me, Sankirtan was very difficult. Sometimes also now it's very difficult. So I was reading the books. I found Krishna consciousness very, very inspiring. And I understood, okay, I have to, I would like to please Srila Prabhupada. So then I said, what pleases Srila Prabhupada? So I heard somewhere that Srila Prabhupada is pleased by distributing his books. So I said, okay, I'll try. Oh yeah. First experience was I took some books from the temple and got them home. Then I, one day I got them in a backpack. I was wandering around the city. I went home. So yeah, was not very natural. Then I had a few days in Budapest where I was not speaking the language, and people, it was like Váci, it's a central part, like it's like center of Ljubljana. People are just and I was like, hello. So it wasn't really easy. Yeah, it took some time until I started to distribute a few books even. But what was for me was that I knew Srila Prabhupada wanted this, and so I said, okay, why not? I will do it. So. Yeah, hope that's a few things. Okay, something else? Marcel?
Thank you for inspiring lecture. You mentioned that sometimes it is appropriate to trick people in Krishna consciousness. So what is the thing that keeps them in Krishna consciousness when they are one strict in? What is the thing that inspires them to stay?
Eventually they have to decide that they want to be Krishna conscious. But you have to show them, give something that he likes. Like some people like the books, they like the philosophy. Some people like prasadam. For most people, what keeps them in Krishna consciousness is prasadam. Some like the music, some like something, some like devotee association. So it's normally people come, and if they see a good environment, good relationship, good prasadam, good music, good philosophy, they will stay. What else to do? So
thank you.
Something else? Thank you so much. Grantaraj Bhagavad Gita ki jai.